very much. All right. Thank you. I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Higher Education and Workforce Development on Tuesday, February 13th, 2018. And we will do things a little bit out of order because we have several votes to take. So we'll do the informational hearings first. And actually, it's not even informational, so slow down. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 4053, the Accelerated College Credit Report. And Laura, could you provide us with a brief summary?
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4053 would require the Department of Education and Higher Education Coordinating Commission to jointly prepare an annual report on accelerated college credit programs. There is a -4 amendment that replaces the measure. It defines terms and requires that the Chief Education Office prepare an annual report on the accelerated college credit programs. The -4 specifies the report must include the number of students who attempted to transfer credits from accelerated college credit program to a post-secondary institution, along with other report requirements. It requires information be disaggregated by certain demographic and program participation factors to the extent that's practicable. Requires the Chief Education Office to collaborate with the Higher Education Coordinating Commission and public post-secondary institutions to determine a representative sampling methodology for the required information. There are a number of other requirements related to timelines, et cetera, for the -4.
And due to the number of changes that have been suggested, we're not on this particular bill. I'm asking for additional testimony. And so, Lindsay, Dana, Andrea, Kyle, if you guys would like to come up. Okay. And just for everybody's information, the paperwork is not ready, so we are in a work session, but I'll be carrying it over. So, all right. And good afternoon, and thank you all for coming in today. We appreciate that. Let's say it. So I don't know who would like to go first.
That's first, I'm pretty sure.
Chair Reardon, members of the committee, for the record, Lindsay Kepps with the Chief Education Office. I'm here to speak to the -4 amendments, as I understand that they've been crafted, providing the Chief Education Office with responsibility for delivering an annual report on accelerated learning credits. We are happy to accept this responsibility, working in collaboration with the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, with the Oregon Department of Education, and most importantly, working with our partners in higher education, both the public universities and community colleges. We believe that the legislation is broad enough to allow us an opportunity to work with the institutions directly on what the appropriate sample data would look like, and to turn that data around within the report required in a timely manner. So we certainly see this work as contributing to a work group that I have convened with HEC and ODE around a broader approach to accelerated learning and addressing dual credit. And this would certainly be additive to that conversation. So appreciate the opportunity to present.
So this helps the committee. Could you just remind us where this data resides that you'll be accessing, or
this is institutional data that is provided to the HEC. It is also provided to our statewide longitudinal data system, which is convened by the Chief Ed Office.
Okay, that's the key word I was looking for. Thank you.
Chair Reardon, members of the committee, for the record, Andrea Henderson, Oregon Community College Association. We are supportive of the concept in this bill, but did want to highlight some of the data imperfections that will kind of result from this, and that the data that is needed to do this isn't readily available. To look at the transcripts of those that are entering into college for the first time, there is not a way for us to really identify who has taken accelerated learning credit and who hasn't. So what essentially will happen is the colleges will have to pull each transcript and take a look at the transcript and see if there's credits that were earned prior to that term. It'll be an imperfect look at it. We won't know what type of accelerated credit program, if it's an accelerated program, or if they took a class at the college. It just will tell us that they are a first-time freshman and that they have additional college credit coming in. We think it will be helpful to have the data, to take a look at it. We think it will help define some of the public policy that will be considered in subsequent sessions, but did want to put it on the record that the data is very imprecise. Secondly, in the bill, we wanted to clarify the definition of what general education is. In Section 6, Subsection B of the bill, it essentially directs HEC to define general education for purposes of this bill. We want to be clear that that's just for the data collection in this bill and that it doesn't give HEC authority to determine what general education is in for our institutions as a whole. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
And I'm glad you mentioned the last item. I've never would assume that HEC wants to take over curriculum writing and developing the courses, but it's always good to be really very clear about that. And so I think we would concur with your statement.
Good afternoon, Chair Reardon, Vice Chair Wisnett, and members of the committee. It's good to be here this afternoon. My name is Dana Richardson. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Council of Presidents of Voluntary Association of Oregon's Public Universities. We also support the intent of this bill, and really this is about students making sure that they're prepared to take their coursework as they transition into higher education. We do believe the Dash 4 amendments are an improvement over the bill as introduced, looking at a sample of students rather than all students, trying to narrow it to students who are first-time enrollees, I think will help essentially bring the fiscal down and lighten the workload that the bill entails. We agree, as Andrea commented, that the amendments could be further improved by identifying foundational curriculum rather than general education. You all probably remember very well House Bill 2998 dealing with transfer credits and establishing at least a 30-credit foundational curriculum, and we really think that that is the intent here, is to narrow it to looking at those. We'd love to see that more specifically identified in the bill. Also, to second the comment from the community colleges regarding HEC setting general education requirements, that's not our understanding of the Section 6.1b. We believe it's intended for the HEC to identify the standards around counting educational courses for the purposes of this study, and that would we would be open to that, but not open to the former, and understand that the advocates are also in agreement on clarifying that at some point. So the remaining challenges beyond those points in the bill really are around cost and the timeline. As Andrea described, when students bring in accelerated credit, if they've done it in partner, if a student's done it in partnership with a post-secondary institution, whether it's a college or a university, those are introduced into their enrollment as transfer credits. So when we get the transcripts, we just see the credits but don't have a sense of what, where they came from, what type of credit they may be, with some exceptions. AP are flagged, but of course that's not, those are flagged because typically those are coming from the high school. All the other types of credits that we see are just come across as transfer credits. So it does take that one-on-one review of the transcripts to identify those courses and then try and determine what sort of course it was. So that requires time, manpower, time and effort. And once that is completed, what we'll need to do, because each institution, the seven institutions I work with, the 17 that Andrea works with, may categorize things differently. So they may see one type of credit and say, oh, we're gonna count that in this bucket, but the college down the road does it, oh, we saw this credit, we put it in this bucket. So we think it's really important to work with the HEC so that when you get all the information about the types of accelerated credit that we think we're seeing, that we're all counting it the same way, so that when you aggregate it at the state level, it actually helps you understand what's being effective and what's not. So those are some of the things we'd like to flag with you with regard to some of the challenges in the bill, but we really do appreciate the intent to help students make the most of what they're learning in high school and making the transition to higher education.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Chair Reardon, members of the committee, my name is Kyle Thomas. I'm the Director of Legislative and Policy Affairs for the HEC. I won't belabor the points about the value of the legislation. I'll just associate myself with the comments that have been made previously and just highlight a couple of additional points for you. As first, with regard to the language of the bill, we have suggested with some Chief Education Office staff, and they have concurred that the initial data collection from the universities and colleges themselves should flow up through the Higher Education Coordinating Commission and then to the Chief Education Office, which would allow basically for maximizing the relationships and the structures that currently exist with regards to collecting institutional data centrally. And the second point is with regards to the definitions and around which specific data points will be captured and how, we have committed to the institutions in working collaboratively to develop those definitions in a way that we can guarantee would work for all parties involved.
And I appreciate that, because I recognize that there's some design work to be done, and it sounds like there's more information to be found out about what's available and how do we get that and what's a reasonable sample size and some of those issues. So Lindsay, are you still wanting this job? Is this you've heard the other testimony?
Chair Reardon, members of the committee, I would say that it's this is as the comments have been made today by those representing community colleges, public universities, there are certainly some issues logistically to work through, but this information is really vital for us to have as policymakers, and I think all of you ought to have access to that information so that we're doing the best that we can, especially as we think about large investments that the state has made in Measure 98, which is setting the path for more college-level coursework in high school, and certainly the opportunities I think we have to create a more seamless system for many of these underrepresented students. So we would take on this challenge very much with a sense that this will help drive, I think, additional work forward in a meaningful way. So
appreciate that. Any questions to this panel? All right.
Mr. Chair, could I note there are a couple of letters from university registrars submitted on OLS, and they do a much better job of explaining some of the inner workings of looking at transcripts than I do. So if you want more detail, those are available for you.
We'll take a look at that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all. I really appreciate your cooperation and diving into this. And I'm carrying over this work session on House Bill 4053 to Thursday, February 15th. And so which one do I want to do? Do I want to go ahead and do that?
I want to make that announcement.
And that's all it is. We're not opening anything, right?
You decided not to.
So I wanted to mention I'm not opening work session or anything on House Bill 4141. You might have expected to hear some comments about the tuition committee and the work that's been going on there. And indeed, there has been a lot of work going on. I think when we were last here, we were up to, I don't know, Amendment 1 or something. So we are now up to the -7 that is on OLS. I encourage you to take a look at it. We have that because of the tremendous amount of work that was done by the bill sponsors, but also the degree of coordination and communication that occurred between the student association and the university representation. So appreciate everybody's effort, and look forward to working that bill on Thursday. So, but I didn't open it. I am carrying that bill over, so carrying over House Bill 4141 to Thursday, February 15th, for the record. Okay. And now we're back to opening a work session on House Bill 4041, Disability Task Force. And Laura, could you remind us about that?
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4041 would establish a task force on workforce development for people with disabilities. It requires the task force establish policies and strategies for increasing opportunities for employment of people with disabilities in state government. The task force would evaluate state programs related to employing people with disabilities and report those findings and make recommendations to the Legislative Assembly. There is a dash two amendment. What it does is reduce the quantity of the Oregon Disabilities Commission appointments from 6 to 5 members. It adds a task force member that's a designee of the Director of Human Services with experience administering vocational rehabilitation programs. And it broadens the language regarding the Oregon Resource Association task force member to include consideration of any entity that represents providers of services to that population. It clarifies the task force policies and strategies for increasing opportunities for employment, means competitive integrated employment, and adds an emergency clause. The bill is ready to work. It has no revenue impact. It does have fiscal impact. At least it has a fiscal impact statement that's been issued, and it's been referred to Joint Ways and Means. And if you'd like, Chair, I can explain the fiscal impact statement very briefly.
Please.
So a fiscal impact statement has been issued. It summarizes that the costs related to this measure are anticipated to be minimal, but outlines potential for increased costs. So Department of Human Services, the DHS director is to serve as a member. They're also just provide staff support. DHS anticipates absorbing these costs. The Department of Administrative Services, similarly, the director of DAS or a designee is supposed to serve as a member of the task force. DAS anticipates absorbing that cost. However, if they're asked to perform additional research or data collection, there would be additional costs. It depends on the scope of the task force as defined by this task force. Lastly, the Legislative Assembly does have 4 members on the task force who are entitled to per diem and travel reimbursements. The task force would not incur additional costs to the Legislative Assembly budget if those meetings are held at the Capitol during task force days, legislative days, et cetera.
Okay. Sounds great. Any questions?
Chair Reardon, I move to adopt the dash two amendments.
Representative moves to adopt the dash two amendments. Any discussion? Okay. If not, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move House Bill 4041 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative moves House Bill 4041 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Rep. Solomon?
I just wanted to voice, just as I did before, I'm very interested in taking part in this, being on the task force.
Any other question? I just have to point out the irony that we were working on this bill the other day, and we had a person come before us who
had a disability
mm-hmm. and wasn't able to testify fully, and it really struck me as kind of irony. But anyway, back Rep. Wisnett.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to endorse the Representative Solomon to serve on this. Also have to thank the hard work by our committee administrator on this, Laura, and Peter Carver to make this happen. I appreciate their and the chair's work on this bill and urge everyone to approve it. It's a committee bill.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, Kirk will call the roll.
Representative Byam.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Byrd.
Aye.
Representative Noble.
Yes.
Representative Reschke.
Aye.
Representative Solomon.
Yes.
Vice Chair Alonzo Leon.
Yes.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes and the bill is sent as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Well done. And I'm closing the work session on House Bill 4041. I'm opening a work session on House Bill 4035, Oregon National Guard Tuition Assistance. And Laura, if you could enlighten us on that one.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4035 would require the Higher Education Coordinating Commission provide full resident tuition assistance at community colleges and public universities for qualifying members of the Oregon National Guard. The bill requires the HEC to provide tuition assistance for up to 70 credit hours at a community college or 120 hours, at a public university. It specified qualified members are students who have not yet achieved a baccalaureate or higher degree, have a cumulative grade point average 2.0 or higher in the community college associate degree granting program or a public university baccalaureate degree granting program and have completed basic training. There's a dash one and a dash two for this bill. They are both posted on OLIS. The dash one changes the limits for the HEC to provide tuition assistance to qualified students up to 90 rather than 70 credit hours at a community college and 180 rather than 120 credit hours at a public university. The dash one also allows for the 100% resident tuition coverage to be derived from both tuition assistance under the bill as well as any other scholarships or financial assistance that's received by the student. The dash two on OLIS provides a blank general fund appropriation to the HEC to be expended for tuition assistance for the biennial beginning July 1st, 2017, and adds an emergency clause. There is no revenue impact for either amendment. Both amendments have an indeterminate fiscal impact, which is written the same by the LFO analyst as was proposed for the bill originally. And the bill is intended to go to joint ways and means, so the same questions remain.
So we'll let them, the joint ways and means, figure out the revenue impact. We're going to do the policy part.
Chair Reardon, I move to adopt dash one amendments dated February 5, 2018.
Representative Leon moves to adopt the dash one amendments dated February 5, 2018. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, the dash one amendments are adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move to adopt dash two amendments dated February 8, 2018.
Alonzo Leon moves to adopt the dash two amendments dated February 8, 2018. Any discussion? Any objections? If not, dash two amendments are adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move House Bill 4035 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Ways and Means Joint Committee on Ways and Means, excuse me, by prior reference.
Rep. Alonzo Leon moves House Bill 4035 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there a discussion on the bill? Rep. Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, thank you for your support of this. Thank the chair for doing it. Also want to thank the HEC for working with us to get this bill ready to go down to Ways and Means, and we'll determine how much money it's going to cost and how we can fund it. That's always a tough issue, but appreciate the work by this committee and the leadership of this committee. Thank you.
And thank you for those comments. And this is another one of thank you to our committee administrator for helping herd this one along as well. So appreciate that. There's no further discussion. Roll call, please.
Representative Bynum.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Hurd.
Aye.
Representative Noble.
Aye.
Representative Bresky.
Aye.
Representative Coleman.
Yes.
Vice Chair Alonzo Leon.
Yes.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Yay.
Chair Reardon.
Aye. The motion passes and bill is sent as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Okay, I'm opening a work session on House Bill 4042, affectionately known as Prosperity 1000 Pilot Program. And Laura, if you could give us a brief overview of that.
Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4042 would establish the Prosperity 1000 Pilot Program to provide career coaching, occupational training, and job placement services for 1,000 low-income job seekers in East Multnomah County. The bill specifies the program goals, administration by the local workforce development board, serving Multnomah and Washington counties, and the responsibilities of the Department of Human Services. It establishes a joint steering committee of the local workforce board and DHS to oversee the progress of the pilot program and ensure that the goals are met. It requires a submission of an annual report to the Legislative Assembly, and it appropriates $5 million from the general fund to the State Workforce Talent Development Board. There is a sunset January 2nd, 2021, and it declares emergency effective on passage. There's a dash three amendment posted on OLIS, which clarifies that the pilot program would provide those services for area job seekers who reside in areas of concentrated poverty within Multnomah and Washington counties. Adds educational institutions to the entities that the Local Workforce Development Board will coordinate with and distribute funds to. It changes the responsibility for the coordination of necessary support services, including childcare, from DHS to the Joint Steering Committee, which is composed of DHS and the local board, and it changes the appropriation recipient from the state's Workforce and Talent Development Board to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission in consultation with the board. For this bill, there is a fiscal light that was issued related to the $5 million appropriation and other requirements of the bill. No revenue impact, and the bill would be headed to Joint Ways and Means.
Okay, great. Thank you. I would entertain a...
Chair Reardon, I move to adopt the Dash 3 amendments.
Rep. Wisnett moves to adopt the Dash 3 amendments. Any discussion? Any objection? If not, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Reardon, I move House Bill 4042 as amended to the floor of a due pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Rep. Wisnett moves House Bill 4042 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I voted for this similar bill last year in 2017. I'll be voting yes on it again today. I'd just like to see if there's a way that we can have Multnomah and Washington County are mostly urban counties. I know there's rural aspects to them, but I'd like to see if we could find a way to have a test program out in a rural county. It doesn't have to be Klamath or Lake County. It could be Douglas. It could be Umatilla. But just somewhere other than the Portland metro area would be something I'd like to see.
Okay. And thank you for that comment. And that certainly is the intent. I truly believe this is a model program, and that as the SNAP funding comes in, that should be distributed out to the local workforce investment boards across the state. That's always been the intent. Certainly was when we, I don't know if the language is any different, but that's certainly part of the program. Those workforce boards, the nine of them, are all part of one cohesive system. And so that's certainly all the discussions that I've ever had have been with that in mind. So, but thank you for the opportunity to get that on the record.
You bet.
Any other comments? Oh, where are we at? Okay, further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bynum.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Hurd.
Aye.
Representative Noble.
Aye.
Representative Reschke.
Aye.
Representative Solman.
Yes.
Vice Chair Alonzo Leon.
Yes.
Vice Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Chair Reardon.
Aye. The motion passes. The bill is sent as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you, everybody, for that. Now all we need is money. Okay, I'm closing the work session on House Bill 4042. Are we done?
Yep.
Okay, and just a reminder, two carryovers. We'll be working next time the 4053 Accelerated College Credit Program, and then 4141, the Tuition Committee process. So, and that's a Dash 7 on that. So with those friendly reminders, I am closing this meeting of the House Committee on Higher Ed and Workforce Development.
Wow. Good job. Very efficient.
Note the time.
Have extra time to do other